The verses 5 and 6 of Psalm 75 have really spoken to me, where the psalmist said, "Lift not up your horn on high, speak not with a stiff neck. For promotion comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God, the judge, puts down one and sets up another." Promotion doesn't come from our efforts, from the east or from the west. God is the one who puts down one and sets up another. It's really spoken to me because so much of my life and my ministry I spent trying to promote my ministry, trying to promote the church, trying to promote the Lord's work. We sought to build the attendance with different promotional gimmicks, all kinds of Madison Avenue techniques. We gave away everything from free giant lollipops to the one who brought the most to Sunday school. One time we actually gave away a 1940 Packard convertible. I wish I had it now. And we were always trying to excite people into bringing others, using all kinds of promotional activities. It speaks to me, secondly, because there are so many people who come to me trying to promote their ministry. They have a feeling that God is leading them to this special kind of ministry. God has given them all of these ideas, and all they need are my endorsement and finances, and they're sure it'll be a success. And so we're being bombarded constantly by people wanting us to give our endorsement to their ideas, and more often wanting us to finance their great visions that they have for the work of God. And I see them where I was, in doing their best to promote the work of God's kingdom. But the psalmist said promotion really doesn't come from the east or the west or the south. He said, don't lift up your horn on high. Now, we wonder, well, just what does he mean by that? Lift up your horn on high. Perhaps a phrase that is more common will help you to understand. Have you ever heard of a person who was tooting his own horn? Basically, that's what the psalmist is saying. Don't toot your own horn. That is, don't seek to promote yourself. We read concerning King Saul, David's predecessor, that when he became king in Israel, for the first time he established a standing army. They had two divisions. One division was under the headship of his son Jonathan. The other division was under Saul's authority. And the story went like this. And Jonathan smote the Philistines with a great slaughter. And Saul blew the trumpet in Israel, so that all of Israel heard that it was Saul who had smitten the Philistines. One was out doing the work, the other was going around tooting the horn, so that everyone heard that Saul, and they were all praising Saul and saying how marvelous Saul was. In fact, when he would come into a village, the girls would come out with their tambourines and they would do their dances, and they had their folk songs in which they would sing, "Saul hath killed his thousands." But in reality, Saul was sitting there in the palace and Jonathan was out fighting the Philistines and destroying the Philistines, but Saul was tooting the horn and thus getting all the credit. When I was in seminary, I was taught a proverb that is not scriptural. In fact, it is unscriptural. And yet it is a proverb that most seminarians follow, because it's taught in seminary. The proverb was this: "He that tooteth not his own horn, the same shall remain untooted." Basically, what they were telling us, if you don't go out and promote yourself, no one else is going to promote you. If you don't go out and promote your church, it's not going to be promoted. I spent one semester in a class on advertising as they brought in an advertising executive to teach us how to write good copy, teach us the techniques of advertising, how to draw attention to your ad, various methods and techniques in advertising the church. We also were taught various methods of promotion, ways by which you can get free copy in the press. All a part of my background and training for the ministry. They trained you how to toot your own horn. And yet the psalmist said, "Lift not up your horn on high." Twice in Luke's gospel, Jesus said, "He that exalteth himself shall be abased, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." Again, the scripture says, "Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." They're all saying basically what the psalmist is saying. Don't go around sounding your own trumpet, blowing your own horn. It is God that exalts. It is God who lifts up. Promotion doesn't come from tooting our horn from the east, from the west, but promotion comes from above. Promotion comes from God. It's interesting how that people today are always seeking to promote themselves or their products. And in so doing, so often we look to the east for promotional ideas. People are trying all kinds of motivational seminars in which the New Age dogma is being presented, in which a person is taught how to visualize their goals, how to establish their goals, and how to plant their goals into the subconscious so that the subconscious, some mystic force of the subconscious, will take over and begin to give them all kinds of ideas and ways by which they can implement and fulfill their goals. They're being taught transcendental meditation, so that they can learn to focus better on the goals that they're desiring to achieve. Learning to sit in the yogi positions so enhance their concentration. And the whole idea is to be able to promote yourself, your ideas, your product, as you somehow tap into the forces that are outside of our conscious realm that can somehow feed to us that method or way by which we can better promote our ideas. And then, of course, they even lead you into the channeling, how to find your spirit guide so that that guide might be able to direct you in your writing techniques and things of this nature. The interesting thing to me about the New Age movement is that there's nothing new about it. The New Age movement is really just a new form of Hinduism being presented to the Western world. But it is the same Hinduism that kept India in poverty, bondage, and darkness for so many centuries. And now it's being presented to us as the panacea, the cure-all for this complex Western society. It's interesting to me also that we are studying the techniques of the Japanese because of their phenomenal marketing success. We're looking to the East, find out how they promote their goods. Yet, for years, the Japanese looked to the West. You know, they were great imitators. They weren't so much innovators as they were the imitators. They would take something that was developed in the West, and then they would imitate it, and they would produce it for less and come up with a cheaper model. And I can remember when I was a kid, made in Japan stood for inferior quality. You know, it was all the little cheap trinkets made of tin that came to us from Japan. But they studied the West, the way we marketed and promoted our goods and developed our goods, and then they improved upon us so that we are now looking to the East to study their methods because they've outmarketed us and they've outproduced us, and now we're beginning to study the way they are doing it so that we can incorporate. And so man looking to the East, to the West for promotion, for ways of promoting, for ways of developing. But the Bible says that promotion doesn't really come from the East or from the West. It comes from the Lord. But people are always seeking a successful model that they might imitate it. The answer isn't really looking around for a better way. It's looking to him for his way. The problem that we so often see is that a committee gets together, identifies a problem, analyzes the problem, and then seeks to develop a strategy by which they can deal with that problem. And so having developed the strategy, then we gather together the people to pray and we say, now this is what we want to do. These are the goals that we've established for our church. These are the ways by which we hope to fulfill these goals. This is the program we're going to inaugurate. And this week we're going to gather together and have a prayer meeting to ask God to bless our new program. Well, maybe it isn't God's program at all. And we're asking God to bless something that really isn't of Him. Rather than seeking God's will, rather than seeking God's way, and then flowing with God, we want to channel God into that channel of program that we have developed. And we want to put the limitations on how God can work. God, we want you to work now within the confines of this program that we've developed. And And we spend so much energy, so many dollars, so much of the church's activity is spent in just trying to keep alive some dead program. I do not believe in artificial methods of keeping alive programs that God wanted to die a long time ago, and yet that's been the problem of the church, is the whole effort is to just keep alive dead programs. Rather than seeking God and discovering how God wants to work and how God wants to move. Real promotion comes from the Lord. I'm convinced that God wants to do a work. And he is just looking for people through which he can do his work. The prophet said as much when he came to Asa the king and said, "Don't you know that the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the entire earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards him." What the prophet was saying is that God wants to do a work throughout the world. He's looking for people who are in harmony with what he is desiring to do. And the moment God can find people in harmony with his heart, with his desires, then God will begin to pour through them his resources, his power. So it isn't hiring some church growth program, having them come out and do a demographic study of our community, determining the really greatest needs of the community, and then designing a program whereby the church can meet the social needs of our community, and, you know, charging us $10,000, and now we got to go with the program. We spent so much money, man. You got to make it go. And we are involved in man's attempts to promote. We're looking to the east, to the west, to the south, rather than looking to the Lord for his way. I believe that God wants to work not only in our community, but in every community. And that God has a plan for each community. But I do not believe the plan is the same for every community, because communities are different. There are communities in the United States that are very strong Mormon communities. There are very strong Catholic communities. There are very strong agricultural communities, industrial communities. And then there's Southern California. Just sort of an amalgamation of everything. And God desires to work in each community. And God has a way by which he plans to reach each community. So you cannot come and study a model that God is using in Southern California and just automatically transplant it back to Idaho Falls, Idaho. It's a whole different culture back there. But God loves those in Idaho Falls also, and he has a way by which he desires to reach them. And so we need to wait upon the Lord. For promotion doesn't come from the east or the west. It comes from God. He's the one who is able to establish his work, and his program is what is important, not my program, nor soliciting God's help or guidance for my program. According to verse 7, God is the one who is the final judge. He's the one who puts down one and sets up another. And as long as you remain usable, God will use you. But when you are no longer usable, then God will set you aside and he will raise up someone else. Now, one of the things that can cause us to no longer be usable is inflexibility. This is the way God used me 25 years ago, and you know, I'm still in the same pattern that I was, and I haven't changed. And we see so many churches that are established in the patterns that were established 150, 200 years ago. During the times of Wesley, my, it was marvelous. And this is the way Wesley did it. Well, things have changed radically since Wesley. But the church hasn't kept up with the changes. And the church is going on in the same old rut, while our whole culture and society moves on. And if I get locked in, and this is the thing I pray God as I get old, keep the grandkids coming so that I can keep current with what's happening in the world. You know, it's so easy to sort of get insulated and isolated from the world. It's sort of in an ivory tower, and you're not in touch with reality anymore. But all you need are a few grandkids. They'll keep you in touch with what's happening. Grandpa, you got wrinkles. Grandpa, what happened to your hair? Grandpa, you know, and man, they make you know that it's a real world. Another thing that can disqualify you from being used any further of God is allowing pride to begin to puff you up. To look at the work that God has done and then start taking the credit and the glory for that work. Another way of disqualifying yourself from being the instrument that God uses is to allow your flesh to begin to control. We can see the tragic consequences of men who once had powerful ministries who today are no longer effective. They're sitting on the shelf because they did not keep the flesh under control. But they began to live lives after the flesh, and God just set them aside. And so it will be with those who pursue after the fleshly pursuits. God can no longer use them, and he'll just set them aside. Because God doesn't want us drawing attention to ourselves or glory for ourselves, but he wants us to focus the people's attention upon him. Paul the Apostle, aware of this, said, I keep my body under, that is my flesh, lest having preached to others, I myself would be set on the shelf. Having had this ministry, having had this work of God wrought through my lives, Paul saw the danger if he didn't keep the flesh under, that God would just take and stick him off on the shelf and say, Paul, no longer usable. So often when people come up to me and say, Chuck, what can we pray for you? I say, pray that God will keep me usable. That I'll not get inflexible in my positions, that I'll learn to flow with God and the things of God. And if God wants to change, I'll change with it. That I don't get in a rut. One of the dangers of growing old. God, keep me from getting in a rut. And God, keep me from the flesh, from the indulgence in the things of the flesh. Now, the reason God works as he does is that he might get the glory and the praise for what is accomplished. There are so few who are willing to give God the credit and give God the glory for his work. Instead, they start success seminars. and they charge others exorbitant fees to come and learn how they were able to build their successful ministries. They seem to forget that Jesus said, "Freely you have received, freely give." And they begin to make exorbitant charges for their speeches and for their appearances. Our favorite song around here is, "To God be the glory, great things he has done." He took a beat down, worn out, over the hill pastor who for years had tried to toot his own horn until there was no toot left. And he began to do his work through the unlikely instrument so that he might receive the glory and the praise for the work that he was wanting to do in this community. And this is what's so frustrating for those that would come to learn the secrets of success that are here. For there are no secrets of success. It's the work of God. And it's so frustrating for these pastors. They come and they sit through the services and they take notes and they analyze, the whole thing. And then they go up to Romaine afterwards. They say, "Now, just what are you doing, And Romaine says, it's the Lord. God's just working." "Well, we know that, but what are you doing now? Just, and Romaine says, "Read my lips." It's the Lord. The Lord is at work among his people. But they can't seem to understand that. They were taught in seminary how to advertise. And they say, "Well, how much do you spend on your advertising budget?" "We don't have an advertising budget. We don't advertise. Promotion doesn't come from the East or the West, from the LA Times or the Daily Pilot or that other unnamed Orange County paper." Promotion comes from the Lord. You ought to see the questionnaires that I receive. 13 pages of questions about my personal life. How much time do you spend each day in prayer? How much time do you spend in the Word? And almost to what kind of toothpaste do you use? Do you use a mouthwash when you get up in the morning, And I mean, trying to probe, trying to find the secrets. Why is it successful? And it's interesting to watch as they endeavor to somehow ferret out some hidden mystical secret whereby we have been able to see a church touch a world for God. For God has used this church to touch the world in a very unique and unusual way. So the effect of what God has done here has gone throughout the world. And you'll find that the way God led us into worship and into the choruses of worship and praise has gone out into the world. And you can find churches all over the world, Presbyterian, Methodist, all, who have adopted the type of worship that we have here in our choruses and in our worship to the Lord. And it's amazing that God could take a church and use it as an influence to touch the world. And as the result, they come to try and find what was our secret. What did we do? And we have nothing to share as far as methodologies. All we can share is that God did a work. It is God who exalts. It is God who promotes. Find out what God is doing. Find out what God wants to do. Wait upon God. Find out where the Spirit is flowing, and then flow with the Spirit. Don't try to channel or direct the Spirit's flow. The mistake that the church has made for years trying to direct the flow of the Spirit rather than flowing with the Spirit. And because the psalmist realizes that promotion comes from the Lord, he then is bound to give thanks to God and to praise the Lord for what is accomplished. So notice the psalm begins with thanksgiving. Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. For your name is near, is obvious by your wondrous works. They have declared the fact that you're with your people, that you are among your people. The marvelous works indicate that God is at work among the people. So we give thanks, Lord, to you for being here among us. The psalm ends with praise. Verse 9, but I will declare forever as I sing praises to the God of Jacob. That it is the God of Jacob who has worked. And thus we praise him. To him be the glory, great things he has done. And God keep us in that place where he can continue to do those great things that he is desiring to do. God keep us usable. Shall we pray? Father, we acknowledge your work in our midst. And Lord, we're so grateful for it. Lord, we know that it is not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. We know, Lord, that the promotion has not come from the east or the west or the south, but Lord, you are the one who has exalted and lifted up your work in the midst of your people. And so to you, Lord, belongs the glory, the praise, the thanksgiving. And Lord, we are so thankful that we've been able to see such a marvelous work of your Spirit in the hearts and lives of these people. That work that has transformed us, Lord, out of the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the glorious knowledge and light of your love through Jesus Christ. Lord, how we thank you for that work in our lives, that transformation that has taken place, and that work, Lord, in your church, as we've had the privilege, Lord, of seeing you work in such a fabulous way. Lord, we ask that you would keep us in that place, that you can continue to do what you're wanting to do in reaching this community and our world for you. May we be, Lord, the instruments through which you can work. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, sometimes I wonder why I even try. The first two people out of service, the first service this morning, came up and tried to promote things. All they needed was my endorsement. If I could just speak, or if I would just say the word to the right person. And I thought, you're not listening. Read my lips. It is the Lord that will promote his work. And when God guides, God will provide. We don't have to go around and promote God's work. That's making God rather impotent to think that he's dependent upon my capacity of promoting him. Perfectly able to do a better job himself. All I need to do is flow with him. To flow with the work that he's wanting to do. And if God has called me to a special task, he'll accomplish it as I just yield myself to him. I don't need to look to man for their help, for their endorsements. I need to look to God, keep my eyes upon him. And if the work is truly of God, and he has brought me into harmony with his desire and what he wants to do, he can use me as the instrument to do it. But he is the one from which the promotion will come. So keep focused on him. Keep looking to him. Just make yourself available that God might use you to accomplish his work.